Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Welcome. This is Andrew Fetter. Welcome to When Pigs Fly. And of course, that was Denise Vasquez with Angel in Disguise. A little taste of that from her LP called Frame in Mind. That was excellent. Probably one of the greatest CDs I've ever heard. Very in-depth. You got to check that out. Of course, you can go to denisevasquez.com. Check that out for sure. First of all, for all those out there who are celebrating the Jewish New Year, I want to wish you all Happy New Year, Lashana Tova. Which brings us, since, you know, it's interesting, everything, some people assume that we always start from a beginning and there's always an end or a destination and things, and this is what I'm going to elaborate. And in fact, I was going to write a whole sheet and things to do, and I sort of actually am doing this pretty much from... I decided instead of doing a beginning and end of something within this context of the show today, it's sort of like going to go on different sort of tangents within itself, showing the understanding of what destination and paths and journeys and what is it. There was a famous quote, and of course by Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu is the, you know, wrote the book called Tao Te Ching. And it says a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a first step. Of course, he didn't say exactly miles, but you got my drift. And it's always beginning with the first step, which means it's encumbered to start something. A reason I'm doing get into this show because I've noticed and I've had from readings and advisements with people and certain people around in my immediate circle of friends and stuff like that, I find that things are sometimes placed upon illusionary destinations, and they don't. It's almost like people live off of the destination of future of an event or their proposed event they have expectations to get to at one place. And they forget about the journey. They're always looking at the very end of something. So when I saw this, I just said, and this is just a quote from myself, and I just said, you know, many think that it is the destination that one must achieve. But rather, it has always been the experience of the endeavor that is actually the real achievement. It has always, always been the journey that marks the steps of the wise, while the destination remains the illusion of the fool. And this is what I'm... get into right now, because it gets into what is the fool. It has to do with the alter ego and serving the slave to an illusion. Some people will have fanciful ideas of certain events, and so they'll transfer these informations. Even in people who are very spiritually encountered, will sometimes paint things that aren't. or our perspective of something, a coincidence of events with somebody not even in their lives to think that that's supposed to happen or a place that they're supposed to be. And oftentimes when the reality sets in of what it is, they're often disillusioned, become depressed, whatever, and has very serious consequences. And the reason why this is because what is really going on? The reason is which is most of us, including myself, we all have a state of what's called alter ego. Alter ego, what it is basically seeking identity of ourselves outside. Our real self, if you look into ourselves, our real self, is the soul itself. It is who we identify with inside. It is us. And the identity of ourselves is really just a verb because we are just a verb. The alter ego will simply identify itself from outside sources. I'll give you an example. An alter ego will look at things from outside of oneself, one's real self, to identify themselves for who they are. They'll use, whether it's by real or fantasy, outside things to place upon an image of themselves, literally recreating who they are when in reality that's not who they are. Obviously, there's like example would be people who are seeking, need a car, certain kind of clothes, certain kind of music to be associated with, to assume these outside things are them, and they aren't. They take outside effects of things to make themselves feel like that's them, and in reality, it is not. They'll take, like example, cars or a cultural thing or clothes, like I said, or music or what's cool. They'll even within all societies, they'll look at color. I'm black, I'm white, I'm Jewish, I'm Arab, I'm English, I'm Brit, I'm Southerner. And they'll take outside cultural things, even though our experiences have identification for our through our experiences, which is our real identity. They take these outside things and place these upon themselves as if that's them, when in reality it isn't. It's an illusion. We often use things, these illusional alter egos, to feed things for ourselves. We create an alter ego for wealth, as if the wealth identifies who we are. We do things like occupations, and you'll notice how they do this, and this is a problem with our society, and the whole humanity has a problem with it, because it's not really in reality. We all identify, they'll go, what's your profession? What do you do for a living? And they identify with you that. And oftentimes, you'll identify yourself as that. Though that your experience of, let's say, you're a doctor or a carpenter or whatever, you're feeling the experience, and that experience is part of your identification, but that's only one small aspect of you. It's not really you. You are not a lawyer or a doctor or a physicist or a soldier or a priest. That's actually an illusion, because those are just things, identifications. People put stamps on you. People put names and nomenclature to outside things to stamp upon yourself. But in reality, within the whole entire universe, with the universe, that's an illusion. There are some even create illusions, creating the fantasies of like Snow White and the Magical Mystery Tours, like a love fairy tale. Now, this is a very quite often I find through my advisements with certain people and things I've experienced even recently. where people will romanticize an idea of what love is, when love is really a simply a connection. Connection to other souls. That's what all love is. What is love? Love is experiencing the connection between you and me, and the different forms of love. Because the different forms of love is just the way it is expressed. That's real love. But oftentimes, in our societies, we carry the fairy tale. And particularly, let's, for example, the illusion of what love is supposed to be, so it's creating a fantasy. And this is why I'm getting this, because this is like another point of destiny, an illusionary destination. Feeding the alter ego. Some will identify who they think their loved one, lover, has to be. So they paint this picture of what that lover has to be. And when you paint this illusion of a lover who's supposed to be like that, you've created an illusion of fantasy feeding what? Your alter ego. It is not really you. It is your desire to be with that particular person. A desire. And a desire is what? Feeding your alter ego. Now, you may want something in particular, but in the reality, the connection between two souls in reality is the love that binds those two. Now, there is maybe attraction. A desire to create attraction that's different. But what happens upon that attraction is choice. And the choices of circumstances, which is the experience of that choice. So oftentimes, people, the most healthiest in endeavors would say, you know, the old saying, go with the flow. That is actually the healthy way of doing things. When people predetermine the outcome of a relation, or what they have done is create the destination of that relationship, which therefore creating that destination has created an illusion of what that is, of the experience. Because there's no such thing as a destination of a relationship. It goes where it's supposed to go. It's a direction of the relationship. That's another thing. But not a destination. And what I'm getting to is, like, there's things like, for example, and I call it the Snow White effect. It's often occurred. And I don't want to sound misogynistic, but within the United States, for example, and other areas, they have the fairy tale of the girl who's stranded and needs somebody to rescue her type of thing. The knight in white shining armor. And this has been in place, embedded within our societies. This is where that idea of creating the fantasy of who you want to be with. This is where, like, for example, from between men and women have issues where women oftentimes, and I'm not being, again, misogynistic or from one side to the other, but men have the same issues, identical and opposite courses with their alter egos. But saying that you have to be, like, if you look inside what the person can do for you, when somebody says to you, when you see in a relationship, I want to know what this person can do for me, that is feeding your alter ego. That is not a real relationship. It is feeding your alter ego. What can this guy do for me? Or what can this girl do for me? Is she satisfying me sexually in bed? Does he take care of me financially? Does he can take me out? That's feeding your alter ego. That is not a real relationship. And then often people wonder how come it comes and goes and falls in disarray. And you have this, what they call karma relationships that come back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's also people I know who oftentimes, you know, we connect with people. Every single person that you meet, I'm telling, this is a fact, whatever feelings, if you even have any kind of loving relationship, friends, whatever kind of feelings, when you meet somebody, there's a karmic capacity for your soul with that other soul. Meaning, you have been in that lifetime before with that person. Fact. There are souls that consistently rotate back and forth, whether on this planet or another form, because we always exist in one form or another. So, by doing so, we always have been in each other's lives. Somewhere on the pattern. That is why you have attracted each other, some way or another. Even as enemies, even as hated brothers, sisters, lovers, friends, some form or another, you've had a past, and you will have a present. And there's a highly possibility of a future, unless the karmic event has sealed itself, meaning it's been totally healed. And 80% of the time, it isn't. That is oftentimes why things recycle themselves over and over and over again. That's why we're constantly rehealing ourselves, constantly going through reincarnations. It's at the time when you get to the epitome, what they call spinning up, that is no longer there. These are like what I talk about with alter ego and the expectations that people consistently misconstrue what their destinations are. They look at its destination as opposed to living in the moment. That's what means living in the moment, doing the experience. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't a direction, which I'm going to get into. But before I do, because I see I'm getting into a little bit aspects of the romance and twin souls, and actually I have a class I'm going to be teaching, and people keep on asking me over and over again about twin souls and twin flames and blah, blah, blah. And all the hyperbole all over the internet I see sometimes, and they make some kind of fairy tale romance, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, what kind of garbage bull crap is this? Do I need a shovel here or something? I mean, literally. I'm sorry, but twin flames is not what people think it is. And people do not understand what twin souls in reality is. Go out of your body for once and you'll see what souls are. Your energy. That's all we are is energy. That's a fact. 21 grams connected to different things. And what a twin soul is, twin soul, is like almost like a leaf that's been split of one. And we have a thing called an oversoul. We're like, if you look in yourself, you basically have a little teeny bit of part of your soul within your physical body. And that goes out into the universe, which has like this little thick old branch, if you can look at that in a sort of metaphorical way, which is an oversoul, which is like energy connection. And imagine little fingers coming down into another embodiment, another one, and another one, within your own branch. That immediate branch that you're a part of, hello, that's your twin soul. What happens with twin souls, they have, because they're so close on that branch, when they meet, they immediately recognize each other, even subconsciously, by knowing, having like a knowing of the person. You know how you just meet someone and you already like know them? A very good chance you might be a twin soul. And twin souls do not have nothing to do with their romance. Did I say it has to be a lover? In fact, I did a reading or whatever, and I was not so surprised, but it was sort of like, because I've never seen that. It was amazing. I had a lady come in, young girl, real cool, real sweet. And she even recognized, she was highly evolved. And she realized her boyfriend at the time, when she was trying to break up, is her soul twin. And I was looking and I saw that. But what was amazing is her nephew, who lives with them, is another soul twin of all three of them. Get it? How the aunt is a soul twin with her boyfriend, with that, they're all the same. There was nothing talk. There was talking of sex? No. You can have your father and your son as a twin soul. I mean, I have a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, and she hasn't not understood. I never even elaborated with myself. I wanted to tell her, but she wouldn't go into it because she has a preconceived idea what twin souls are. But she didn't realize that her father and her are actually twin souls. It's so apparent. So what is this thing called twin flame? I actually talked about this in a show I have to look back when I did this. I think it was over a year and a half ago I did this whole show about twin flames and twin souls. Pretty sure. And I went in detail of what that is, but I'm trying not want to elaborate too much because that's what this show is about. But the twin flame, just so everybody knows, is basically when twin souls do get in a romantic relationship by choice. Choice? Where they both choose? It's not made, it's not destined. There's no such thing as destined for them. It's sort of co-created karma. There are some destiny in things, but that's only destiny to sort of meet. What you choose to do is not your destiny. What you choose to do, where your situation then becomes what you are. So, sort of like destiny, but not destiny. But the twin flames is literally when they're two twin souls are together in a romantic interlude. Because it's like two flames coming from each other. So it's sort of romanticized. And the flame actually represents, it comes from, in Kabbalah, called the Safrut, which is explained as being a flame, like of a candle. Because the soul is often referred to as a flame. So it's like two flames sort of together. That's why it's called the twin flames. But again, a lot of this is based upon what people think and imagine and colorize is out of an altered ego state, not a reality. I mean, people often put through their altered ego this feeding of an illusion outside of what they are and what it isn't. Sometimes they'll even change their own name to sound better to feed their alter ego. Think about it. Why would somebody change their own name? Is it to change their identity? To recreate outside who they think they are? So other people will call them? All that is in reality feeding your alter ego. I'm just telling how it is. It sounds cool if you want to change your name to sound something, you know, Hindu or Dakota or Native American or whatever, fine. But I'm just telling you, in the reality, the change of your name is why you're doing it. Because you identify with it. Something outside that you identify like yourself. But that's not really you. You're really you. It's not even a name, really. You're a verb. A verb is outside for people identifying you. So by calling yourself this is how people, like my name is Andrew or Andy, and people go, hey, Andy, Andrew, that's still go, oh yeah, that's me. It's just so that people know who they're, so I know who they're trying to call out to. So what's in a name? Sort of like an identification, which creates a vibration. Some people change their name to change the numerical consequence of their thing, create change of vibration with another thing. Because they think that because people start using that name, it'll change the consequence. But in reality, it's actually outside. It doesn't really change much. You're actually disavowing what you're called. What your mom and dad called you from the minute you're born is your not your stamp of identification, but literally the calling from the outside. Your soul has been placed with that light vibration. If somebody outside continues to call you that, that's something. If you try to get somebody to continue to change that, that's another thing. That would be a little bit different if you chose to change your name. If you want to just change the vibrational area of your system from outside, but that's not really changing you that much. It's just changing the reflection of you to outsiders. Again, what would be the purpose? If it's doing just for yourself, then is it for alter ego? But again, what is self? What is your soul? I think I did a show or many shows that I've often talked about what is the soul, and simply, what is the soul? It's simply energy. What does the energy do? You're an energy. Whoosh, buzzing all around. Nothing more than doing what? Besides experiencing this, you're choosing experiences. You're constantly choosing and making choices at every millisecond without you even realizing you're making a choice. You're making a choice because every choice is action and every second is a millisecond. So you choose, for example, you're just sitting there, not moving. That's just, you just made the choice to stay there. Now you're blink. You're now not moving again. You made another choice not to move physically. You're listening to me, and every minute you're listening to me, you're making a choice. Every little teeny, teeny, millimeter, millimeter of a linear time is a choice. And then there's choices beyond this time. There's choices when we go in our dream state and choices which evolve with our will. But we're constantly choosing our experiences. And out of these choices, we can choose, and this happens, to feed our alter ego. Feed that thing that we think that identifies ourselves. We'll choose things from outside to make ourselves look like something that perhaps we're not. To make ourselves look cooler than cool. To make ourselves look stand out for somebody. Is it really who we really are? If you look in your mirror and you pull all that stuff apart, who really are? And then people often wonder, gee, after 50, 60, 70 years, they're just about to go into their deathbed. They've lived that long enough. And they're going, I don't even know who the hell I am. The reason why is because they've been living their entire life alter ego. Alter ego. They haven't come to a connection to who they really are. And the connection of who we are is our own choices and actions and our energy within ourselves. We are not it. We are a verb. And I've done a whole shows, and I've repeated this numerous times about the soul. So what do? We're choosing to what? Some people say choose not to choose. And that's a choice too. To be apathetic is a choice. You know, one of my classes I was teaching, I was explaining to them, and they read in Genesis, and they were talking, I was telling them about the issue with, Eve and Adam and Eve getting the apple, the fruit or whatever, because it really wasn't an apple, it was just a fruit. And what was ironic, if people, if you think about it, Eve goes and tells Adam, hey, let's eat the fruit. And out of the fruit, what was supposed to happen? It created so that humanity would have choice, or Adam and Eve would have choice. The story about Adam and Eve, by the way, it's not real Adam and Eve, it's just telling how explanation of how humanity it should be living amongst the how it is in the universe. Anyway, what's ironic is here's this fruit that's supposed to give you choice, but here's the irony of it, which I don't understand. Nobody even catches it. It says by taking the apple, they've actually chosen to eat the apple. So they, before they even ate the apple, they already made a choice. They've already created it. And what was the point of living like Adam and Eve? What is the Garden of Eden? Garden of Eden is literally a placement of mind, of understanding that we're just experience. Experience our surroundings. Experience each other. There is no destination, as you've seen. That is not a destination. The destination is an illusion. They have direction. You walk around, you go to different places in direction. But in reality, there is no beginning and no end. Only a direction. We will create a facade, an illusion of destiny. You know, put that little carrot in front of your face so that you'll run to it. We do this in society in different ways. They'll use fear to make you run, another illusionary, to run to somewhere else. To create a new direction. A new destiny, what you think is a destination. Or they'll go money to chase after this money thing. A little carrot in front of you. That illusion, chasing that little rabbit. So you change direction. It's the direction where you go is part of the journey. I have a friend who told me that felt they needed to go to a special place, a special mountain that had to be told to them. And I said, well, you know, it's probably not the destination when you get there, but actually the journey that when you throw toward it, that's going to be what is most enlightening. You know, in life, as people get older and older, you become wiser and wiser, they say. And I think part of it is because as you get older, you realize from the younger ones who think there is a destination, because that's always a facade that's always thrown out there consistently. You realize there was never a reality of a destination, only a direction. If you think about it. That's why there's a complacency when sometimes when you get older and more, they say older and wiser and whatever, you start realizing in life and past, look back in your past life and all the events that transpired. I mean, often people tell me, God, Andrew, you've lived so many lives, you've done so many things. Yeah, did things. Those are experiences, but they've done things too. Everybody's done things. But it's what we do with those things. That's our experience. That's what we do. That's why we're here. So in reality, we're here for one simple thing. Experience. All we are here is to experience. Experience love. Experience wisdom. Experience understanding. Experience healing. Experience each other. Experience the ups and downs of life. Experience karmic events. The tragedy and the happiness, you know, the joy, you know, up and down. That's all we are here, to experience. Think about in reality. What we choose to do with these experiences is a new choice of a new experience. This is why it has always been just one thing. Each journey. The journey that was never had a beginning. We assume there was because we were born, but in reality, that was a journey too, wasn't it? Your soul coming into your body. The journey of you coming out between the loins of your mom. Seeing the world is another experience. And another experience. And then when you die and you leave, that's another experience. And you continue on because one thing is a fact. We never cease to exist, do we? So there's no end. We have another different kind of experience. Or a different energetic experience. In a different realm or different dimension of an experience. But it's an experience. A tree has an experience. You think a tree just sits there not doing anything. But is it? It experiences the changing of weather. You walking by. a bird flying upon it, the sun going one place, then another all day, maybe a little bug trying to eat its leaf. Everything in this world experiences. Everything of life experiences. So do you think you are any different? All you do is experience. What is a plant but energy? What is but an animal but energy? The only difference between your soul and the plant is you have choice. We have the fortunate aspects of choosing our experiences, more so than any energy here. Yeah, animals to some degree make choices too. But we have ultimate choice. We can change our direction. This is what they talk about, going to the light or to the dark, going into an area of love and kindness, raising our frequency. We have choice to raise our frequency or choice to lower our frequency. Oftentimes it's called. With an apparent destination comes with what? What is it? Destination in reality only leads us like donkeys toward a direction. If that's what you need, then you're really what? Like a donkey. You tell the donkey, head over there, there's some water for you, and he just runs to get the water. Doesn't think about the journey on its way to get the water. It just drives, heads over there. When you get in your car, where this is another issue, we're already preconceived with these destination marks because we're set in our society an illusion that we just get in, we're in our transportation, the way we do things. We think that's how life is. You get in your car and you're driving to your work. So it's really my destination, right? I go from where my home, I go to work, or go to my friends, or go to my girlfriends, or boyfriends, or wherever you're going to, where you're going, that's your destination. And we often forget, while you're in that car driving along the course, there's a journey. There's an experience on the way to that destination. And even when you get to that place you think is the destination, then you get out of your car and you walk inside the place, and then you start doing the work, and now you're another destination, and you're looking at the clock, and it's now 8 o'clock, now it's 10 o'clock, now it's 12 o'clock, and you're looking at the, now you turn that linear clock in destination, waiting till it turns to click 5 so you can clock out, or maybe to catch a movie, or maybe to go see something. So we create a destination. Not that there's important, like you have to be on time on things, that's obvious, in order to meet with people. But that's all choosing a distinct area of cross to meet to have an experience. Otherwise, we'd just be rambling, bumping around, not be able to communicate with each other, or elaborate, or whatever. But you end up choosing a direction together, actually, not a destination. You get to a movie, you go see the movie, you picked a time to go see it, so now you go to the movie, but now you're getting by the ticket, now you go into theater, now you're sitting down, now you're watching the movie, and what you're doing, you're experiencing the movie, or each other, or whatever, your friends. You see, there is really no destination. Think about it. There never was. Think about the trip that you take. It's the journey of the trip, not the actual arrival of the trip. Because once you arrive, then you have another, you're still on the journey. You're still continuing. It never ends. As like, say, like Grateful Dead, the music never stops. Literally, it never does it? Now, I know people go, well, what the hell is destiny then? Well, destiny is basically co-creation with you and the universe. We choose and we co-create by choice. But out of reaction of our choices, like I can choose I want to do meet somebody, or choose to be involved with somebody, choose to be something. But guess what? Hello, you know, you don't have, you're not God. You're not going to exactly manifest that necessary thing. It could come out, but, you know, the universe has something to answer that. That's why it's called co-creation. I want to, let's say, get in my car and I want to drive to Las Vegas. I'm going to try to get to Vegas. And you're on your way to Vegas, but guess what? You want to be there like exactly 4:30, 4.5 hours from now, let's say. That's not even that time now, but let's say four and a half hours. And all of a sudden you get on the road and, oops, there's an accident on the freeway. So now you're late. Didn't that sort of change your journey? You're not exactly going to be on the time you thought you were. Now let's say if you get exactly the time that you wanted to get there. So you did co-create and the universe says, you know what? I'm going to let you be there on time. See? Because it's co-created. When you manifest and create something, you're literally creating a path, a journey to some place. When you put out to create a manifestation of some event, you're creating a journey into the direction of that event. People think it's manifesting something of abundance, but what is abundance when you're creating manifestation? Is creating the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Do it. The journey. So destiny is co-creation. When you meet somebody that you've just met, and it's karma, like, wow, that was actually destiny. There's nobody destined to be your lover, or destined to be your wife, or destined to be... You're destined maybe to meet each other. But what you do with it is choice. And each have their own choices, which people don't realize. If one chooses to just be friends and the other chooses to want more than friends, both have respectively had their choices. And both have the right to choose what they want to do with that. If one meets another one, let's say, and they choose to be only friends, you only want to be friends with that person, not friends and lovers, let's say. And you tell the person, well, listen, I just want to be friends. And the person wants to be more than friends. You can't tell that person, no, it's not fair to you not that you don't want to be friends. Because if that were the case, and that person's not validating himself or herself or who they're feeling. So if they have feelings for the other person, more than just being friends, then they have the right to choose a different experience. And if they choose not to even be in a relationship because maybe it hurts their feelings or they'll have other issues because being around you or might be jealousy if they see somebody with you, that still is their choice, and you have to give credence to their choice or being honest with themselves to doing that. That is being honest. That's being true to oneself. Even if you think it was destined to do some special event together, there is no such thing as special event together. There's all millions of events going on in this universe. We're specks. We're just simple energy amongst a lot of energies. So what is what we're is? But like I said, destiny is just is. It is literally the universe. It is being you and the universe. And so what is a journey? A journey is what I just said. A path. A simple path. A deep toward a direction. And what is expectation? Expectation is placing that altered ego upon it. Expectation on a relationship, expectation on teaching, expectation on advising, expectation on partnerships, expectations on lovers, expectation on friends, expectations on parents and children. Throwing out potential, saying, well, potential is not potential. Those are expectations. If you go into a relationship thinking that there might be potential, there is absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. It's leaving an open end. That's called open. You're open-minded. When you say there's no potential, you brought in a wall saying, wow, there is no more potential. That's fine too. Guess what? The other person can say no too. It's called choice. Neither one is wrong. It's out of choice of that particular moment of what those people or peoples choose to do. And that's where the illusion of what isn't is and is. People often create this illusion that whatever they think has to be, and it isn't. There are two people or more. Ambition. People ask me, what is ambition? Ambition is a healthy one and an unhealthy one. Ambition is giving you the passion toward a direction. That's a healthy one. I have passion, I'm going to run up that mountain because I want to get up that mountain. I want to charge up that mountain and experience it as fast as I can and experience it with all my might. That's healthy. I want to be a doctor, so I'm going to work on heading toward to be a doctor. Heading toward to be a doctor. I become a doctor. Now I want to head and make the best kind of doctor I can. So I'm going to learn, experience the way to learn, experience the health, help heal people. Ambition, that's healthy. Unhealthy is throwing an illusionary object out there, chasing after something, thing, as opposed to an experience. That's when it becomes unhealthy. Chasing the ambition of being rich, having money, unhealthy. The experience to achieve unlimited success, different. To achieve so that you can do open up opportunities for you to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Not just sit there with $1 billion and nobody dies with gold and silver and cars and, I mean, that's an illusion. That is the illusion to feed what? The alter ego. Somebody said, well, do you just float around or what? No, you have a direction. Just don't float around, you have a direction. You choose a direction. You can choose a direction without expectation. You can endeavor something without expectation. Because look, I can go, I want to achieve something, and I really, really want to achieve to get towards something. I don't know if I'll achieve it, but I surely hell am going to try. That's a healthy way of doing it. If you love the work that you do, that's a healthy direction. Because it's something you enjoy the experience of. There's nothing wrong. Now, at large, you mean at large, what I've just explained to you doesn't apply just to the individual. This also implies to humanity at large. And I'm talking about within countries and societies, in movements of political references, whether it's in politics, it applies the same thing. When a country is heading in the wrong direction or the right direction, if it's placing an illusion of expectations and feeding itself alter ego, that's a problem. If it's running to a destination or heading toward a destination, that's an illusion. It's not a destination, it's a direction, like I said. You know, the greatest endeavors are so simple. They truly are. It's so simple. The greatest endeavors are so simple that it's simply unconditionally loving yourself. Imagine that endeavor, that direction. Imagine just unconditionally loving all souls. Wow, that would be another great endeavor direction. I didn't say destiny. I didn't say destination.
It's a direction. How about just simply unconditionally loving Earth? How about unconditionally loving the universe? How about unconditionally loving yourself? These are not just destinations, I just stated. They're directions. I don't mean directions like filling out something. I mean direction where you're heading, which direction you're heading to. A compass. And by the way, with love, there is no measure. Don't measure it. It's not finite. People often assume there's like a finite thing of love. They try to identify the experience of love. I want you to take any experience that you do and you put it within words. It is only a sort of a description, but it's actually not the event of experience. Because a real experience you can't really describe exactly. Because experience, like all the universe, everything is an infinite waste, infinite capacity of time. So when people apply equations or mathematically or even astrologically things, there's only a guessing. They're not exact. Because they're utilizing a finite approach when the universe is infinite. This is our problem with our sciences today. We utilize a finite approach, yet our universe is infinite. How the hell can you apply mathematics or logistics in a very finite capacity when there's no beginning or no end? What is space? How do you measure beyond space when there's multiple dimensions of space? And there's multiple issues of time. There isn't a linear time. We think in our own capacity that there's one time, but what happens with time and space all comes convergence, as you know the old relativity theory of Einstein showed. Time and space are this one and the same. Uh-oh. Mind screw up here. Uh-oh. Help me, help me. Why? Because we're thinking like in a box. We made to think our universe is a box. There is no box. The box is an illusion. That's like somebody who thinks that there's a destination. That's like someone who thinks there's an expectation. There is no such the box as our own illusion. So simple. And it is a reality that it's all infinite and beyond. And in this capacity, in this universe that we live in, this capacity, and I mean by this dimensions, there's actually several, multiple dimensions, there is a dark and light. But eventually, as you would say esoterically, going into another realms in a higher frequency, there is just light. Imagine being in a room, in a dark room, because in this area it was all dark. So in a dark room, you can take a flashlight and point light within the dark room. That's how we know there's light in this dark room. Oh boy, now I know that's light, because you see the flashlight. You see a candle in the dark room, that's light. That's how we identify the light. How do we identify that there's things of infinite? Because we look at things that we assume that are finite, but in reality they're infinite. How far small is the atom? How deep is space? What is time and what is space? There is neither dark or light when you go fade toward the light. If you go into a dark and a light room, a room that's all light, can you put a flashlight that points dark into the room? No, there is none. Like as you get toward just light, 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 there is no dark. And lastly, I will say, this comes from something I've actually saw, and I'm sort of elaborating it. Someone that said, what is really a man? You know, you're a man, or in this case, also a woman is a woman. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, when they realize that they are one with the universe. When you mean they're all connected, and we're all deeply connected, yet we are have our own unique individual ways of looking at things, and respectfully so. But we are all connected, and we are all one with the universe. Then they would reach their manhood and their womanhood when they have realized the true connection. The other day, somebody asked me, what is the universe? And I coyly respond, and of course I took this off. It's sort of funny because I saw this on an old little kung fu movie, you know, the one with David Carradine, and it was sort of funny because I sort of said it myself. So the one asked me the other day, what is the universe? And my answer, feeling like talking to a grasshopper, what is not in the universe? That's the universe. That's the reality. The reality is, we are all one. One universe, one consciousness, all connected to one another, connected to God, which is the universe, connected to all things, to all earth, each other. And our love is experience of that connection, the compassion. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening in. God bless you all, and have a truly glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you. God bless you all. Thanks.